Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Coleman Taylor Transmission, servicing Central Mississippi for over 60 years. Their ASE-certified technicians offer dependable transmission services, a warranty, and record services. Call Coleman Taylor today for all your transmission needs.
This is Gerard Gibbert, and thank you for listening to Middays here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Get ready to go beyond the headlines and join a meaningful conversation with people from around the state. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Everyone, and welcome to Midday Super Talk Mississippi. I'm your host, Gerard Gibbert, along with Rhino in the Element Well studio, guiding you through the middle of your day with facts, fodder, and fine music as we kick off Eclipse 2024. It is upon us, but I don't think it's going to be visible here.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to hide from us.
Dang. And we have we even have some eclipse viewing glasses around the studio.
Oh, here. Yeah.
So we're not going to have to wear those, it does not appear.
You can put up the colander, you can hide away the eclipse glasses, because unless you are in little tiny pockets across the Magnolia State, looks like it's going to be a cloudy day.
Dang.
Because of the percentage chances and the coverage of clouds, there are going to be little pockets.
Okay.
Where the sun will peek through and you'll get a glimpse of it, but it won't be a nice long look at the eclipse as the moon passes in front of the sun.
So the time frame for us is like 11:30 to 3-4 o'clock this afternoon. Is that
right?
Yeah,
it depends on where you are in the Magnolia State, but generally speaking, you're looking at 10:30, 11 o'clock is when it'll start at the earliest, and then the latest will be 3:34-ish.
Okay. Well, what about all these people that have, like, spent their life savings to position themselves to get a good view?
I mean, it looks like there are the forecast has gotten better for the path of totality.
Okay.
There are still some spots where people might be backing up and punting and going to Plan B and hitting the road to a different locale because where they got their bed and breakfast or their Airbnb or their hotel room.
Yeah.
Not the best. But, yeah, that big, long line going across the United States, there are many, 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 many places that there will be unobstructed viewing of the totality of the eclipse.
Jeez. So, have you seen that there's some officials, U.S. intelligence officials, they're warning of violence, mass gatherings that where violence may be targeting big gatherings of people. Folks, if you're watching, by the way, on CSPIRE TV, or if you're tuned in on the app or the full browser, watching us on video, live streaming video, Rhino has officially donned his Eclipse of Viewing device.
I can't see anything in these things.
Things are dark. Look like a cool cat. Oh, man. I don't know. You look like a rocker from the 60s. The Birds. What was that guy? That's who you look like there. Oh, man. Very cool. So the FBI and Homeland Security, they're increasingly worried about threats from ISIS and lone wolves in the U.S. They warn in a bulletin to be cautious at, quote, mass gatherings such as sports stadiums, concert venues, or houses of worship. So are folks, like, going to pile into stadiums and stuff, concert venues, to watch the eclipse? Is that possible? Is that going on? I didn't know that.
I haven't honestly looked at much in the path of totality as far as events. I've just kind of been looking at what's going on in the Magnolia State, but I mean, there have been in the past. In the most recent eclipse before this one, I remember seeing pictures of beaches just packed shoulder to shoulder full of people as it was the first opportunity as it crossed the U.S. I mean, if you do have a local amphitheater or something, they might be having a viewing party or something. And while I do think it's a bit on the overly cautious side for the federal government to be putting out terror warnings about the eclipse,
yeah,
I think in reality, the rational part of my brain is going, well, there's a reason if you have a tall skyscraper or something that's a tourist attraction, you usually have warnings about pickpockets. Because if everybody's looking up, nobody's watching their wallet or their purse. So I can see how there might be a reason to be a little bit more aware than you would expect, but not for terrorists.
Yeah.
I mean, terrorists are going to attack large groups of people. That's kind of their whole MO. But I don't know that there's going to be any big enough crowds for this event that they would have been planning on it.
Well, but I mean, such targets are available on a regular basis.
Right. I mean all through any major sporting season.
Right. So I'm not sure. But that's what FBI and Homeland Security, they ought to be worried about the people that are flowing across our border, whom we don't know who the heck they are, that might have some malicious intent, especially when you see all these young Chinese nationals. Well, they got rolling bags. You seen this? They're like going on vacation. What are they doing here? How did they get out of China? I thought it was pretty locked up over there. And why are they, do they all seem to be...
Unless China's totally okay with it.
Right. I think that's the point. But we don't seem to be concerned about that over here. However, impeachment proceedings against Homeland Security Director Alejandro Mayorkas, they're headed to the Senate. I don't think anything will happen, but that's... The articles have been drawn up, have been through the House, now transmitted to the Senate, where he would face possible conviction and removal. I don't think that's going to happen. But he seems to, every time he's in the public square speaking about the issue, it's all as well. I mean, he's the captain of the Titanic. Incredible. So, last night, by the way, South Carolina completed a perfect season. They knocked off Caitlin Clark in Iowa to capture the NCAA women's basketball title. Clark, by the way, had 30 points. I got to tell you, these players on South Carolina's team, man, they look like they could suit up as tight ends on the football field there. That's pretty impressive, you'll have to admit. Undefeated season? Man. However, did you see what South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley had to say when she was asked if she thought transgender women, these are really
dudes in dresses,
should play on the women's team? She kind of hemmed and hawed and stuttered and stammered and wasn't really sure what to say. But she said, if you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. In other words, she supports the idea of trans athletes. These would be
dudes in dresses
that say they're women, right? Because they want to engage in athletic competition with women, though they are not. And so now her social media timeline is being inundated because she knew what she said was really insane. She said, yes, yes, so now the Barnstormer people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days of our game, and I'm okay with that. Unbelievable. So I wonder what it feels like as a player, a bona fide female player, when your head coach on a team where the head coach says that they believe that biological men ought to be on the same court with them competing. This really is so crazy. How in the world did we get here? Such that we have to enact legislation to define what a woman is and a man is. Totally insane, but she sure did. She said trans athletes should be allowed to play women's sports. Very disappointing. So I wonder, Rhino, maybe she's got one in mind, one or two in mind that she's recruiting. She's got one or two of them just waiting in the wings. Come join our team, you.
Dudes in dresses.
Suit up. Oh, my gosh.
It reminds me of the ending of that Rodney Dangerfield movie, Ladybugs. Where the whole plot of the movie is him trying to sneak his...
That's right.
Fiance's son, it's not quite a stepson just yet, onto a girl's team. And then it all comes to a head. And at the very end, it's him coaching a whole team of guys with long hair.
Unbelievable.
It was comedy when I was growing up, and now look at where we are.
She said, if you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports, you should be able to play. I'm blown away, honestly. On the program today, Scott Payton, the state director of Right on Crime, at 10:35. It's Monday, so we have a two-hour show for you. At 12:05 today, it's Ricky Matthews and Super Talk Outdoors. We're coming right back. We are in the Element Wealth Studio.
In life.
Now back to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Middays from the Element Well Studio. Okay, Rhino has supplied me with some Eclipse viewing glasses. I have donned them. I can't see squat. These things are... I look up into the ceiling at the lights.
That's about all you can see.
That's all you can see.
Just the dim glow of a bulb.
That's right. Good grief.
I mean, I've got all these screens in here in front of me, and when I'm wearing them, even with these screens at their brightest setting... I can't read a word. I can't see anything.
It's incredibly dark. I guess this does the trick, though, when you're looking directly into the sun.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at the inside of these things, and it has meets the transmittance requirements of ISO 12312-2 2015.
Very important. So you're telling me that ISO, of course, the International Standards Organization,
right?
They actually have standards for glasses to view an eclipse.
I think the standards are for eye protection, yeah.
Okay. So, all right, so my eyes are kind of settling in now, having had them on a couple of minutes. I can't read my screen, but I could at least see something that's got a little glow to it, kind of like the lights in the ceiling and the two monitors, televisions in the studio. I can at least make out where they are and that there's something on the display, but that's about it. Man, these things are incredible. This reminds me a little bit, I will say, those of you that are instrument-rated pilots. This reminds me of the view-limiting devices that we would wear learning how to fly an airplane solely by instruments. And they call them foggles, is what I had. And the top half was sort of frosty, where you couldn't see. You could see out of the bottom. And that was so that you could see the instruments,
right.
But you couldn't see out the windshield. Of course, there's a tendency, you got to train yourself to cheat and kind of look up.
Look down your nose.
Exactly. Whenever I do that, my instructor, who was fantastic, by the way, a short, very stern and strict Irish female, she'd start elbowing me in the stomach. Don't do that. Oh, man. And the first time, man, one of the first times that she put those glasses on my head and said, okay, take off. I said, huh? I can't see the runway. And literally learn how to take off without being able to see the ground. just solely on the basis of the instruments. It's pretty unnerving, I will tell you. But anyhow, that's what these things remind me of. Unfortunately, though, with the cloudy conditions, we might not need them. The clouds are going to obstruct our view.
And we had a couple people on the C Spire text line chime in and let us know that there are going to be some big gatherings, like Reese and Clarksdale, and I don't think this person's given us their name yet, but that we had a couple people chime in and say that they're having a big get-together at the Indianapolis Speedway, which I think if you get that place fully packed, that's 400, 450,000 people all in one location.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know that they'll have quite a sold-out crowd for the Eclipse at the Indy Speedway, but...
So one question is, on the C Spire text line, will it get noticeably dark during the time frame you say the eclipse is going to happen? Well, I would think if the, even though the sun is, of course, above the clouds, that there is light filtering through the clouds. So.
Yeah, you'll notice if you're paying attention, like if you look outside right now and you see there's a certain level of haze, but there's also a certain brightness, and then you look outside normally around lunchtime, it's going to be brighter than it is right now.
Right.
Whereas today, it's not going to be that bright.
Right.
Because of the eclipse. Because the swath of Mississippi that could have potentially seen the eclipse, were it not for the clouds, would have experienced between 90-ish and 70-ish percent coverage. So, yeah, there's going to be a distinct drop in the amount of light coming from the sun.
Okay. Well, I mean, that stands to reason, obviously. And so, might be a little darker during the middle part of the day while we're on the program here.
And if you are in one of those lucky pockets of sunshine right now that aren't covered up by clouds, take a picture. Shoot it to us on the C Spire text line. We'd love to see it.
I noticed that in my Windows operating system today, the banner at the bottom there, the bar at the bottom, not the banner, but the bar at the bottom, on the very left, of course, you've got a search window. Type here to search. It's got like a little graphic of the eclipse. Usually,
where the weather bug is.
Yeah, exactly. So, aren't they smart? Well, so that's the big day. Eclipse 2024. When's the next one? 25 years from now, I believe. When we're scheduled to witness another eclipse.
Let me double check. I know it's 20, 30 years from now, but when it does come, it'll come right across the Magnolia State.
Oh, how cool is that? All right. So in the meantime, the president, Joe Biden, he's going to be up in Wisconsin. Is it today or tomorrow? I think he's going to be in Madison, Wisconsin today. Wow. He's going to do that right in the middle of an eclipse. How dare him?
Yeah, 2045, August 12th, 2045, there's an eclipse that's going to go all the way from the Pacific coast. The band of totality will start in Northern California and hit Reno and Salt Lake City and Tulsa and Oklahoma City as it hits Little Rock and then swoops right across the Magnolia State from just south of Olive Branch down to... right there at the three-county border with Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. And then all the way down to about Hattiesburg and up north. I don't know if Tupelo will be included in the totality, but if not, it's right north of the line. So, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much the entire Magnolia State will be able to see it, and a big chunk of the Magnolia State will be under 100% totality.
Wow. That's 20, what'd you say, 45?
August 12th, 2045.
Okay. 21 years. Again, in the meantime, the president in Wisconsin today announcing details of a new plan which would forgive student loans. The heck with that Supreme Court. Pay no attention to that Constitution. I'm still going to do this. This is nothing but blatant
vote buying.
Vote buying, of course. How could you say it's anything else? Now, he's going to be in Madison, which, by the way, is the home of the University of Wisconsin, one of the most liberal universities, one of the most liberal towns in the nation is Madison, Wisconsin. So he's going to figure out some way to adjust the terms of these student loan agreements. He will instruct Education Secretary Miguel Cardona to do so. They're going to rely on the Higher Education Act to waive or compromise student loan debt. I believe that's legislation that dates back to 1965, if I'm not mistaken, if memory serves. He says that this is an important issue for younger voters, could help energize parts of his political coalition. That's what the Biden campaign says. Many of whom have been disillusioned, of course, by his job performance, and they are concerned about inflation is sort of cropping up as their top issue as we head into the election. And in fact, have you seen this report, top sacrifices people say they are making recently in order to afford housing? Some fascinating data, 34.9% say they're taking no or fewer vacations. This one shocked me, Rhino. 22% skipping meals. 20.7% working additional jobs. 20.6% sold some belongings. 17.9% borrowing money from friends or family that they intend to pay back. 17.6% dipping into retirement savings, such as their 401k, et cetera. 15.6% delayed or skipped health care medical treatments. That ain't good. 15.4% an extra job. 14.7% say they're working a side hustle, such as an Uber driver or food delivery. 14.3% received money from friends or family that is not expected to be paid back. So that, my friends, is the Biden economy. That is Bidenomics in a nutshell. Everything more expensive. You're noticing gas continue to trending up. And to trend upward, I should say. And that's because the price of oil continues to trend upward, mainly caused by stress and tension in the Middle East. And that is applying pressure to the global price of oil, which translates to higher prices at the pump for us. By the way, 15% of the Democrats in the county where Madison, Wisconsin is located, which is where the president is going to be speaking today, voted in their primary as uninstructed. Uninstructed, meaning they didn't cast a ballot for any candidate in the Democrat primary. Wow. There we go. 2001, A Space Odyssey. Appropriate music for the eclipse today. Scott Payton, State Director, Right on Crime is next.
From the Seabrook Pay.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert, here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Everyone, it's Middays live from the Element Well studio. We welcome to the program now Scott Payton, State Director of Right on Crime in Mississippi. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Gilbert, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. So, if several bills are making their way through the legislature, and first we should probably pass on that Governor Tate Reeves has declared that April is second chance month here in the state of Mississippi. I'm not aware that he's ever made such a proclamation, or has any governor in the past. So how important is this to call attention to this issue?
Second chances month is very important, Gerard, because if you look at the history Second Chance a Month. It comes from Prison Fellowship to honor Chuck Colson, their founder, who passed away in April of 2012. But as Christians, we also realize April typically is the month that follows Easter. And, you know, what better describes the what happened from Good Friday to Easter, the darkness that occurred, and then the hope and the joy that comes with the resurrection. So Second Chance Month corresponds also with Easter, with the resurrection as Christians, is that hope and joy that we find knowing that there is something that we live for that's greater. There's hope that keeps us moving forward in our daily routine lives. And the same can be said for those that have made bad mistakes, horrible mistakes, that they have that opportunity at some point in their lives after they paid or incurred the consequences of that action. There should be a time for them to be looked at again, to give that another opportunity to function in society.
So, Scott, you know, the thing that always comes up in any time we talk about this issue is there's concern on the part of the public that folks who have committed the most heinous crimes and are indeed a menace to society should remain incarcerated and should not receive these so-called second chances and be released, that they likely would go out into be released and back in as a free person and commit further crime, hurt people, take their stuff, what have you. How do you distinguish and discern there, just so people understand what we're trying to do with these reforms?
Sure. You know, first off, I firmly believe that prison is necessary, and there are people that belong in prison. There are some people that probably should never be released from prison due to the nature of the crimes that they committed. And if you look at SB 2795, it's kind of what we're talking about in parole. There are certain offenses that are excluded. Drug trafficking, human trafficking, capital murder, first and second degree murder, sex offenses. There will be some crimes at sentencing where the judge can look at the particular circumstances and deem that offense cannot be eligible for parole. And then people that were sentenced under habitual sentencing laws, someone that continues to break the law, and not just minor infractions, but serious infractions over and over, those would not get the opportunity to be reviewed. And I think the first thing, Gerard, that we have to keep in mind is that this is just eligibility. This doesn't mean that an individual is going to be automatically released. I have spoken with and met with Mr. Belk, the parole board director, on many occasions, and I guarantee you, since day one until recently, he has been working diligently to improve upon the parole process, to make sure that people are given, one, a fair hearing, but also to make sure that they've met all the criteria to even be eligible to come before his board. And after meeting with him, I am fairly certain that he does a thorough vetting process as required by the law on these individuals that come up for parole hearings before his board.
So, Scott, what's a typical scenario? So talk about someone who, based on the laws in the state of Mississippi, perhaps is locked up, is incarcerated, but perhaps there are better approaches to reintegrate them into society and give them the opportunity to be productive members of our state. What's the scenario there that precludes them from being released, and really they're just kind of wilting in prison and not producing anything where they could be?
Yeah, Gerard, we have, you know, and it's not, you know, the number of people in prison should be based on the people that are convicted and being sent over. But when we look at the statistics and the studies that show that nonviolent offenders, actually the longer they spend in prison, you know, can increase their chances of recidivism. It can make them better criminals and increase the opportunity that they're going to come back. But those are the individuals that we can safely release back into society under the supervision of a parole officer that's going to continue working with them to address those root causes that sent them to prison in the first place. We've based our, there's been some research that showed from, it took 5,000 individuals during a time period, I think it was between 21 and 22, that were released being eligible under SB 2795. And 98% of those individuals did not return to prison on a new sentence. So these were individuals that were released, that went through the, that are still probably going through the parole process, and they have not been returned on a new conviction, which is good news, which shows that parole can work, but it requires a lot of work. It's a community effort. As you see, MDOC has been engaging with employers. We have a labor participation rate that's one of the lowest in the nation here in Mississippi. We also know that individuals who return back to prison, the one thing they have in common is that they were unemployed. And we're not just talking a small time job, but they need employment that's going to be able to earn a living. And those are some of the benefits, in addition to reducing the prison population, is we can help to grow Mississippi's economy by putting people to work. When you have a job, you're able to support your family, you have something to lose, and you have more of that hope and the joy to continue, because you begin to have things. You begin to become a return back to society and be a productive member.
So in the state, in the general fund budget, the Department of Corrections is third behind education and Medicaid. It's a very expensive line item. We seem to have crowding in our facilities, lack of honestly proper resources there. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough money. How would this address all of those constraints, these reforms?
You know, Gerard, it's a good point, because there was just a Department of Justice report back in February that highlighted some of the things you just mentioned. What parole does is, one, gives those that are eligible the incentive to behave, the incentive to participate in programs, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel where they can earn their way out. That is good for a lot of people. It's good for the safety of the individuals who are incarcerated at MDOC, but it's also great for those individuals that have to work the long shifts at MDOC. And that, the difficulties that the prison is experiencing in Mississippi isn't unique. We have shortages across the country. When someone can work at a department store and earn about the same amount of money as they can working at MDOC, it's tough. And those guards and the correctional officers can make a difference in the lives of the individuals that are inside and work towards recidivism. But we have to have good conditions for both. The state is responsible for every person it puts in prison, their safety, their medical bills, their well-being, rehabilitation. I mean, it's a whole gamut of things. And Commissioner Kane has a lot on his plate and a lot of responsibility. But it begins with giving people an opportunity to work their way out of the prison system, and those that we can safely release. There are individuals that need to be there for a long time, and we understand that. But the incentives need to be to get those individuals out that we can spend just dollars a day instead of hundreds of dollars a day to supervise them.
Right. Well, it's an expensive endeavor, as you know, incarcerating people, and sometimes just letting them sit in a jail cell is not really rehabilitating them and getting them ready to return to society, and locking them up permanently is obviously not an option either. It just seems like we have a one-size-fits-all approach. It's not working. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, Scott, but we always appreciate you coming on the program. Enjoy the conversation. Take care, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're coming right back in the Element Wealth studio.
those that are trying.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome to Earth, Third Rock from the Sun.
She walks in the Smokies one hip at a time, like a broken field runner slipping through the line. He likes the way she looks, so he calls a little wife, says, "Don't wait up for me, I'll be working late tonight." Wife hangs up the phone, burst into tears, calls her sister up and cries, "Get over here."
Well, I'll have to admit, I never heard that one before. But it's very apropos for the day. Third Rock from the Sun. Just so the audience will know, I've already entered a request into the Rhino All-Hit request line for Dark Side of the Moon by the great Pink Floyd at some point today.
Might just have to play the whole album next hour.
That's about how long it takes, I believe. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Well, a lot of stuff going on, though. Not only do we have an eclipse, and we've talked about Joe Biden going to Wisconsin and bragging about Bidenomics. He is all over the former president. Donald Trump had a big old fundraiser, raised $50 million in one night. Quite the haul. Unprecedented, honestly. We were talking about Joe Biden raising $25 million with star-studded guests, including former presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. That was a big haul. How about Trump and $50 million? Now, the RNC still, their cash is about half of what the DNC has, but they're catching up. I'm glad to see that. Well, the president is out there with a video saying that this was just the former president, Donald Trump, receiving all this money from his rich friends, and that the Biden movement is one of grassroots of firefighters and cops and teachers. He loves to invoke that, doesn't he? Try to divide us with all this economic class warfare. That's always front and center. Our old buddy Robert Rush, as Rush used to say, he was all over the social media this weekend spouting all kinds of nonsense. It was just infuriating me because he's just wrong, everything he says. It's the McDonald's CEO. That's why the price of hamburgers is up. You know, remember we did the math on that? If we took his pay and we essentially redistributed that into all the hamburgers sold, it's like half a penny or something nonsensical like that. It's not even, doesn't even get on the chart. Doesn't teeter the scale, tip the scales whatsoever. Oh my gosh, he's just always wrong about all that. And it, but his people eat it up. That's what is so disturbing. Oh yeah, get that CEO. That's the reason my Big Mac went up. Gosh, then they're on Kroger too. We went through that math as well. So the McDonald's CEO made $17.8 million last year. Most of that was in use of the corporate jet, so he can get from point A to point B in a hurry. It's pretty good, honestly. It's pretty good use of that sort of fast transportation when you got somebody at that level that can get from location to location and do work. But that includes that and stock grants and options, more than just cash. But there are 2 million, by the way, 2 million workers in McDonald franchises across the world. So if you took his pay, just put it at zero, and divided it equally across the 2 million workers, it's $9 a year. Woohoo! And then, of course, you'd have to consider the negative impact on the company if you brought in a CEO far less qualified, made a lot less money. Well, that's also would have a deleterious effect on the company, which means the workers would suffer from a pay perspective. It means stores could close. They don't ever think about the consequences of having really poor leadership because they mire in poor leadership in the government. And for them, it's just, well, just crank up that print press, print some more, doggone it. You can't do that in the private sector. You screw up, you go bankrupt. That's what happens. And nobody bails you out unless you're a crony of Obama and Biden. So it's just sad that he can go out and spout all this nonsense and people just absolutely hold it as irrefutable truth. And it's often not, mostly not. So where I was going, by the way, is that it is Masters Week. We didn't say a word about that. My concern, Rhino, is that this stormy weather moving through central Mississippi, or all of Mississippi, actually, plowing from west to east, might impact Augusta, Georgia, site of the iconic annual golf ritual coming up this weekend. I hope not. I got to check the weather for Augusta, Georgia for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, of course, we got other events, the par 3 tournament, so forth, as well. Yeah, it's the hallowed ground of Augusta, Georgia. Augusta, actually, Augusta National is the hallowed ground. We're coming right back in the Element Well studio after Fox News and Super Talk News. Stay with us.
Nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart.
Welcome to the show that challenges you to think deeply.
To think deeply.
And look beyond political posturing. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back in the Element Well studio. I put them stupid glasses on again and I got dizzy, man. Oh, gosh. You know, it is a bit of an economic boon for many, though. You got the hotels all booked up, travel, restaurants, all the above. I'm looking at some live scenes right now on the television in the Element Well studio from Mexico. And there's just huge crowds out in the street getting ready. Now, they have got clear skies, so they can see, right? But it's still bright and sunny there. I'm not sure exactly of the timing when the eclipse will be obstructing the rays of the sun and the light from it in the nation to our south. But right now, they're just all out having a good time. Boy, there's some kind of conspiracy theories going on. There's still two on there.
Like, from every possible angle.
Exactly. So one of them I saw was from one of these crazy left-wing climate change nuts. I don't know if you've seen this. They say climate change is causing the eclipse. Next, you mark my words, they'll find some connection to race and gender ideology because, of course, we've said it so many times on the program, those are the underpinnings of the modern Democrat Party. They genuflect at the altar of race, climate change, and crazy gender stuff. That pretty much just composes everything that they support, believe in. It's really is hilarious when you think about it. But, yeah, it's climate change that caused the sun and the moon. And there's some crazy explanation you have to read about 14 times, and it still doesn't make sense. One of them deals. I'm not going to share it with you because it's so nutty. But they're always looking for a cause, aren't they? It's...
Well, don't you know that gravity is trying to drag down the BIPOC community?
Okay, I didn't know that. But
it's trying to drag down everybody else, too. But it more impacts the underrepresented communities.
I see. Okay. We need gravity equity is what we need, right? Oh, gosh. Sharon and Brandon says, oh, my God, y'all look like aliens with our glasses on today. Shall we put them on real quick here, Rhino, the two of us, just to give everybody a feel, a glimpse? Here we go. Man, it's dark in this place.
I've also got this other one that we got to put on a camera, but since it's going to be cloudy, we don't have a camera, so it's like a giant Monopoly guy monocle I could use, maybe.
I love that. That is awesome. With the American flag skin on it. How cool is that?
Yeah, you really can't see anything when you double them up. I don't think you could see welding sparks through that.
Oh, man. Well, that's so awesome. Well, it's a coming, isn't it? That's all we can say. And we'll be ready for it here on middays. We've got our our obligatory viewing glasses.
I did some more reading on the back of these things because there's all kind of fine print. And come to find out, I can't stick these back and hold on to them until 2045 for the next solar eclipse because... Well, right here in the fine print, store in a dry place. Do not, in bold all caps, do not use if older than 1 year. Incorrect storage may damage the lens.
Are you kidding me? Don't use it after 1 year. What is that all about?
Maybe the chemical they use to get the plastic so dark breaks down. I don't know.
Okay, so now there's a shelf life eclipse viewing glasses, right? Golly, it's crazy. Well, be out of here pretty soon, though, right? 3-4 hours, and we may not get too much of a taste of it here across central Mississippi or the entire state of Mississippi, honestly, because we got cloud cover extending from Texas all the way over through the Magnolia State and moving about. Also, I did look up the weather for Augusta. I was concerned about the Masters. Unfortunately, on opening day, which is a huge ceremony, really cool when you get the old guys there on the first tee, that's Thursday, 100% chance of rain. That's not looking good. Friday and Saturday look spectacular with a big bright sun showing at present is in the forecast and in the low 70s. And then Sunday looks partly cloudy. So I'm not sure what they'll do. If they'll move it to, you see this sometimes, they'll extend it over into Monday is a possibility.
Yeah.
Play 36 one of those days is a possibility. That would be crazy. And what a grind that would be for the players. That thing's already enough of a challenge when you're just playing 18. It is incredible. I've been one time. It was 1997. That was Tiger's first green jacket. A memory I shall always cherish. It was really cool. I want to say that Jack Nicklaus made a hole-in-one in the par 3 contest that year as well. That was really cool. And you know, the first day I got there, which was, I think, Monday, because I was there the whole week. I was a guest of one of our partners. And there is an entrance where when you come off the street, essentially through the gates there onto the course, you're near number 10, as I recall. And as soon as I get in, who's walking down number 10? None other than Jack Nicklaus himself. And I think he was with Fuzzy Zoller, if I'm not mistaken. One time on the tour. And, of course, this was, you remember this, Rhino, this is before you had smartphones. This is 1998. So you had to buy one of those disposable cameras if you wanted to take photos. And I'm you know, wrestling to get that thing. Man, it's Jack Nicklaus walking down the hill there on number 10, and I've got those pictures at home. I'll forever will cherish those as well. Really cool. Was talking about our buddy Robert Reich, as Rush used to say. He's all over the lottery, by the way, now. He says, for your information, the lottery is a regressive tax disproportionately paid by people who can least afford it, and little of the proceeds go to community funding. We should fund community services by taxing the rich, not by conning working people into thinking they'll become rich. Oh, gosh, Robert. Give it a break. He's all over Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos reportedly purchased another mansion in Miami's billionaire Bunker neighborhood, this time for $90 million. It sits next to two other properties he bought last year, one for $79 million and another for $68 million. Don't tell me the super rich can't afford a wealth tax. For what there, Robert? To send it to the federal government? To be appropriated by the likes of you and others who don't have a clue what they're doing, who are the most inefficient managers of capital and dollars on God's green earth. Yeah, I'll send it to the federal government. They're so good at managing money. That's why we have $2 trillion deficits and $34 trillion in debt, because of their wisdom and their intelligence. And I'm not referring to all, but you have to look historically at government's incompetence. I don't see how you could frame it in any other manner. How else do you explain these ridiculous deficits in the mountain of debt that has been accumulated? But you think, does Mr. Reich and his ilk, well, let's just go take money from the rich. That'll fix it. And when you read the comments, this is what bothers me more than anything. The comments from the people that follow and agree with Mr. Reich, it's just incredible. One person says, why is it that 95% of those commenting on this agree that taxes could be raised on the wealthy, but we can't get a majority of Congress to agree on it as well? Who do they really represent? Man. This is a reasonable comment here that I somewhat agree with. What bothers me most about this is you are more concerned with the money coming from the rich than what the government is doing with the money they already get. If they were not wasting so much, maybe I would be on board. Government needs to be better stewards before they get more. I agree with this person. They are arguably the worst fiduciaries on the planet. Fly me to the moon, my Frank Sinatra on Eclipse 2024 Day. Coming right back in the Element Well Studio.
You
in life and
three
middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Let's do this
on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, check ignition, and may God's love be with you.
We are back in the Element Well Studio. How perfect is that? I'd forgotten about that one. Of course, how could I? That was one of my favorite tunes when I was a youngster. The great David Bowie. He kind of looked like an alien back in those days. You know, he was often heralded as and recognized as one of the best dressed Always had. Yeah. You remember that? I always had the tailored suits. But back in that period where we went through the triangular phase, remember the big shoulders, big puffy shoulders, and really tight down at the waist. And
what was it, Ziggy Stardust and his Diamond Dogs?
Yeah, Ziggy Stardust. And he had spiked hair and all that. That was perfect for that. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills.
The papers want to know what shirts you wear.
That's right. You know, we got to think about Elton John and Rocket Man, right? There's many to choose from. Somebody said that on the C Spire text line. We could have an all-day deal with that, especially if we fired up Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
Don't worry, I have that coming.
Of course. Johnny in West Point. And we may have to continue it into tomorrow, right, because this is a shortened show on Monday. Johnny in West Point says, Robert Reich might have a legitimate complaint if McDonald's would get the ice cream machine fixed. Oh, gosh. Wonder if those glasses will help you sleep better, says Carol in Starkville. My recommendation is to close your eyes. Don't try to look out of them inside because it made me a little dizzy, honestly. Your eyes are trying to see something and you can't. You look up at the lights in the ceiling. It helps a little bit, I would say. Carly's man flew all the way to Nova Scotia to see his eclipse. That's right. You're so vain, right? That's on the C Spire text line. Forgot about that. Climate change caused my weight gain, says the Godfather. Of course. Everything's caused by climate change, race, or gender stuff. Oh, Dan in Hattiesburg wanted you to play Major Tom by Peter Schilling. What's that? I'm not familiar with that one. Great music, Rhino, also. Ben from Madison says, Scott Payton does a good job. I hope members of the legislature are listening. Nobody is really talking about it, but we have a real prison issue in Mississippi. There's no doubt about it, Ben, and I'm afraid of what may happen with respect to the DOJ. Greg and Newton says, we pay people to figure out when the next one is, I guess, talking about the eclipse. Yeah, I guess we do. Good time for an optometrist tomorrow, says Jerry in Waynesboro. Yep, absolutely. So it was Gary in the Berg that wanted a Space Odyssey. 2001 A Space Odyssey comes to mind. I think we took care of you on that one. Anything else going on? What's going to happen when a person who doesn't have a disability identifies as disabled in order to compete in the Special Olympics? Oh, gosh, I hadn't thought through that, but all this identifying stuff hurts my head after a while. It's so insane. It really is. That it defies logic. I would say that it goes against fact, established fact. Yeah, all of that causes problems. That coach would support it right up until a team of trans players beat her team. Talking about, if you hadn't heard it, South Carolina women's coach Dawn Staley, the national championship South Carolina women's basketball team she coaches. She was interviewed in advance of the big game, the big championship game. She was interviewed and asked a question about whether or not men, biological men, should be allowed to compete in women's sports if they identify as a woman. And she basically said, yes, she did support that idea. If you want to play, you should be able to play. It's the way she put it. And she knew at that point she would be inundated, overwhelmed with all sorts of social media rhetoric, either opposing or supporting her position. And she said she essentially accepted that, knew that was coming for making those statements. Wow. One of my favorites is Starman by David Bowie. That's Randy from Batesville. Moonshadow Cat Stevens, or whatever he calls himself. I'm not a big Cat Stevens fan, I just got to tell you. Speaking of what I'm not a fan of is the Dow is in the red. It's down 10 points. It started out, the futures were up. It had, I think, even hit the 100 in the positive category mark earlier in the day. It has turned negative. By the way, the 10-year Treasury, those are the notes that most are connected to the cost of consumer borrowing, such as mortgages and credit card interest rates and so forth, up today to 4.4%. Lots of talk about, is the Fed going to reduce interest rates? It's an election year. That figures in. You're seeing economists say, I don't think we're getting any rate cuts. We went from 6 or 7 earlier in the year, the consensus, to maybe 3 or 4 to maybe none. But this inflation thing is proving to be quite pesky. And the Fed, in its attempts to rid the nation, the economy, of this sticky inflation, is failing at it, honestly. What it's done thus far is raise interest rates, hoping that would impede demand and thus bring inflation down. But so far, that has not happened. It continues to be a problem, and I think that's largely driven by the price of fuel, price of gas. Of course, that is directly connected to the price of oil, crude oil, and the hot spots in the Middle East and just abroad are causing supply to be limited and not really producing up to what is needed to drive the price down. Some of that, of course, is planned by OPEC. Some of it is just a function, again, of the unrest in the region. So we'll see where all that goes. Yeah, Carol in New Albany also points out Elton John's Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me is a great one as well for this eclipse day. Oh, so I just got a report on Knight. You know, we sent him off to obedience training. He's been over there for a week. She said we got a text from the folks that are training him, said he's doing fine, but he goes a little crazy when they go to clean his kennel with a hose. He likes to attack hoses and sprinklers. He's a Labrador retriever. That's what they do, ma'am. They're natural for water. They love it. That's pretty cool. We miss him, though. He's going to be over there a couple of months. We're a week into it. Kind of quiet around the old hacienda without him. So a whole lot of talk continuing, by the way, on the public employees retirement system back here at home. You know, I couldn't get through a program without at least bringing that subject up. And there's just lots of misinformation floating around that I think is worth addressing. And by the way, I am extending, just as I did last week, an invitation to a member of PERS, other than a board member, that would like to come on the program and have a discussion and get their take and their feel on the financial condition of the system and what perhaps should be any action taken to address those financial issues. You know, we had a bill that passed the House that would have restructured the board and would have rescinded the planned 2% employer contribution rate increase scheduled for July 1st. That measure failed in the Senate, didn't even come out of committee, wasn't even voted on in committee because the chairman, Senator Chris Johnson, did not have the votes. He had done a little vote counting privately and elected not to bring the measure on the table in committee meeting. So nothing at this point is going to happen. A great article by our news director, J.T. Mitchell, summarizing the status of that legislation and really just telling you that we're nowhere. We got nothing. Well, there you go. Elton John with Rocket Man coming right back. Half an hour of middays left.
Promise you.
Bring it on.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
It is on.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
When I went up to San.
You're so vain. Well, we are back in the Element Wealth studio. We thank you for joining us. So we've had some fun with all the music pertaining to the Eclipse 2024. That's incredible. So Marshall and Terry says he would be willing to discuss. He is retired after 30 years as a firefighter. Be willing to discuss the PERS situation. Says, I said, what do you think? Just curious, what action do you think should be taken? A review of all components of the system working to protect current benefits while determining how to do a better benefit package. Be specific, though, Marshall. I mean, that's extremely kind of high level. Honestly, I'm not being critical here, but that almost sounds like political rhetoric. Oh, I think we ought to just make sure everything's good. Well, agree. How do we get there, though? I'm being serious. That's the question. So, Rhino, I could almost summarize kind of where we are with respect to this whole PERS debacle. Let me see if I get this right. The legislature doesn't trust the PERS board. PERS members don't trust the legislature. Municipal leaders argue that an increase in employer contribution rates scheduled to go into effect July 1st is not sustainable without layoffs and or local tax increases. Actuaries recommend increasing the employer rate by a whopping 10% to 27%. So far, the board has approved 5%. The legislature questions the board's wisdom in recently reducing the target investment rate of return down from 7.75, then to 7.55, now to 7. PERS members don't want to politicize the system with board members appointed by the governor and lieutenant governor, but honestly, it's already politicized in that the legislature has control of the program. Way more control than the PERS board does. The legislature has the power to make changes to the benefit structure, to add a tier, to increase the employee contribution rate, to honestly, the board composition. They have power over all that. Now, I have yet to hear a legislator say that they would support any changes to current benefits. In fact, quite the opposite. Everyone that I have spoken to directly or that I've seen make statements on the matter have all said, no, I don't support the idea of modifying the current benefit plans that are in place. So, okay, and they've also said, and certainly in the House, that they don't support increasing the employer contribution rate by 2%. All right, so we're not going to change benefits. We're not going to change the employer contribution rate. If we change the employee contribution rate according to AG opinion, we'd also have to commensurately increase benefits, so that doesn't accomplish anything. We've got a rate of return achieved on the PERS investment portfolio that honestly is one of the best historically in the country. Could it be better? Sure. I mean, every one of us could do better with our investments, right? I mean, that's incredibly subjective. There's always hindsight. We could have bought NVIDIA when it was $4 a few years ago, right? We'd all be wealthy, and PERS problems would be solved. If we'd only known.
Sure. Only they'd bought Bitcoin in 2010.
Well, yeah, that's another one, right? So, I mean, you could always second-guess that till the cows come home. And no wealth manager, I don't care who they are, is going to show up and say, I guarantee you in a contract I will produce this stated level of return. No way. If they did, they'd have 1,000 exceptions to that.
Well, the other part of hindsight being 2020 is you can also look back at the contemporary reaction. So, for example, with the funny money, if someone had come out in 2010 and said, you know what we should be doing with the public retirement system? We should be investing in this thing called Bitcoin. They'd have laughed him out of the room.
No doubt about it.
Even though, with hindsight, we know they'd have made a killing.
Yeah.
They still would have gotten laughed out of the room in 2010.
You could make the same argument, you're right, for another a number of other holdings as well. I just brought up NVIDIA because it's had a meteoric increase over the last couple of years. What is it now? 880 a share, something insane like that. And it truly wasn't too long ago. It was like $4 when it was kind of a fledgling chip maker. But sure, we could always shoot.
Yeah, it was selling for $4 a share in 2010.
There you go. 14 years ago, $4
now
a share.
Now it's $8.72.
There you go. So, yeah, you could always, I guess, assume we could have done better on our investment returns. It's not so much that to me that bothers as much as it is this move, the target rate downward. I don't know that there's justification for that. And we had Senator Sparks on last week, and sure, maybe that is the right rate of return. It just seems like that kind of got sprung on us. But nonetheless, just take all that out of the equation. So we're down to, okay, what do? You got to have more revenue, and that could come in the form of the employer contribution rate, a higher return on investments, or it could be just money, just taxpayers. And I didn't get to them. They're the other party in this triangular ordeal, because the taxpayers do contribute nearly double to PERS what the employees do. I mean, but that's part of their compensation package. I'm not complaining about that. But I am, of course, making the point that it's not 100% funded by employees, even though they always refer to it as their fund. I get it's their fund in terms of their members, and they contribute to it. They'll get benefits out. But you can't discount the fact that the taxpayers contribute 2/3 of that. And here's what the response would be to that, Rhino. Well, what about the legislators? That's what happens. You get the whataboutisms come out, and so many guys believe that if we just got rid of that supplemental legislative retirement plan that the legislators enjoy, that would fix the problems. And I keep seeing that being repeated over and over and over again, and it's just simply mathematically false. Now, we could argue about whether or not the legislators should even have a supplemental plan, and I have suggested on this show, I have suggested this in face-to-face to members of the legislature, you guys ought to get rid of the SLRP. Just ought to put a plan in place to phase it out. You know what you really could do for good measure? Members of the plan, especially those who are not vested, even those who are vested in the SLRP, which, by the way, it has 172 members paying in and 228 that are receiving benefits out. It's teeny tiny in the scheme of things. You know, some members, just for good measure, what if you just said, hey, look, the money I've contributed, if we're going to shut this thing down and phase it out, the money I've contributed, to the extent it's not needed to pay future benefits that are guaranteed to those legislators, and certainly I wouldn't be for changing anything with respect to those drawing the 228 drawing benefits out, they've got to be protected. And those that are vested, I think it's reasonable that they're protected as well. But they may also say, hey, look, I'll forego my retirement, just take the money that I've contributed and the state's contributed on my behalf and send it over to PERS. It doesn't amount to a lot of money. In fact, it's just like less than petty cash. But I think from an optics perspective, maybe that would look good. Maybe they would just make do it voluntarily. I'm not suggesting force, but just do it voluntarily. I don't know that we'll see that, but it's some ideas. But I do think that just to take this out of the equation, just phase this thing out. Just get rid of it. That way it never comes up. Now, honestly, I believe that those who just stay mad about the fact that the legislators have this special program, the supplemental program, I feel like, Rhino, that the euphoria from them eliminating it and phasing it out would last about 24 to 48 hours, and then reality sets back in. You got a $25 billion unfunded liability. You know, it may make you feel good for a little while, but it doesn't change the math effectively. But I support that, just so folks will know. I'm in favor of phasing out the supplemental plan, because it's been around since 1989. I don't know how many people are in the legislature right now, Rhino. It can't be that many that were even serving in 1989 when this thing was created. That's a long time ago. I don't know if we've had anybody that's been in, would that be 34 years? I do that right?
I don't think there's
35 years.
That long, no.
Huh?
I don't think there's anybody left from that long ago. No.
Right. So what are we going to do? Find them and hold them responsible for this? Now, you could say, well, how come they've never suggested this before? Honestly, I don't get the feeling that this thing has been promoted as a problem the way it is. And don't forget, a short 2 or 3 years ago, PERS was reporting that, hey, we're in good shape. We got a 93% funding ratio. We're all good to go. And then shortly after that, it fell to 56%. We got to do something. So, and I think this is one of the reasons where we have this lack of trust. And, of course, I think just in general, people don't trust elected officials, whether they have, I guess, done anything to achieve that status of distrust or not. Does it matter? I think that's just pervasive attitude in our country. Coming right back with a final segment.
Are we going to do this?
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Keep rolling. 3, 2, 1.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
I didn't even know there was such a tune.
Yeah, it's the last track on the album.
Okay. Well, as you can imagine, back in the 70s, everyone had a copy of the album around college where I was in school. And it was always on the turntable spinning around. Let's see, when COVID hit and everyone started retiring, do you think that played a part in retirement shortage? Y'all were talking about the financial woes. Well, no, because you still had to be vested and still had to meet all the criteria for retirement. Now, it's possible that they retired earlier than necessary. They could have continued to work and paying in. But all of that's figured into the actuarial projections. And no, I don't think that's why we went from the 93% abruptly to the 56%. I don't. Let's see. You're not going to use the vitriol of Friends of PERS Facebook site to help fix this? No, Thomas. I'm looking for actionable, viable solutions to the problem. And I know it sounds like I'm beating the horse, but again, you got the benefit side, you got the revenue side. I mean, it's just no different than running your household or running a business. So which of those, if not all, do you want to take some action on? And of course, I believe any changes to benefits would be breaching fiduciary and legal responsibility. I do not support that. Do not think that that should be done. For new members coming into the system through the creation of a new tier, sure, that won't solve the problem. It will on a long-term basis, but I also believe if you created a new tier that had less generous retirement benefits, you'd likely have to pay more in the way of salary to offset that, because you'd lose one of the key features that attracts workers into the public sector. Many will tell you, yeah, I passed up a higher paying private sector job to enter the public sector because of this unique benefit that's simply not available in the private sector. And that's a defined benefit plan that pays benefits for as long as you live once you are retired. So that's an issue. But and Marshall said something back, and he this is the individual that is kind enough to volunteer to come on the show, says he's been a retired firefighter, now served 30 years as a firefighter. So I think he made a statement. I couldn't quite follow it, Marshall, to be honest with you, what the points you were trying to make, that the legislature ought to have a vested interest in solving the PERS problem since they're members of it and also members of the supplemental legislative plan. They do. The question is that I'm trying to hopefully get you to share your thoughts on is, what would you suggest to address the problem? Best I can tell, most PERS members just say, hey, look, the state made this promise to us, and they've got to fulfill this obligation, and that means you cannot and should not change my benefits whatsoever. I actually agree with them, but we're back to, okay, what do you want to do? So, again, thinking about all those parties and where they stand, the legislature feels like we need, or at least in the House side, we need to change the board structure at PERS. I think the PERS members say we can't let the legislature do this. That would politicize our board, and it would cause problems for us that would put our program at risk. That's at least what seems to be the prevailing attitude. You got the local elected officials that say, guys, if you pay PERS board, if you let this 2% increase that you've enacted go into effect July 1, it's going to have serious negative ramifications on our budgets. We're going to probably let people go, replace full-time employees of our cities and counties and school districts with contract labor so that we don't have to bear that cost. We would possibly have to raise taxes. Many of them have said that, and that would be property taxes, ad valorem taxes, to cover the additional expense burden. So I wonder if they are reaching out and contacting PERS board members about that now that the bill is essentially dead. It is dead. That would have reconstituted the board. I think all the focus up to that point has been PERS members on the legislature don't do this. Now I'm thinking that municipal, county, school district leaders are pushing and expressing their concerns to the PERS board, which has control over the employer contribution rate, not the legislature. Tomorrow, I'll get into some various scenarios, a regression analysis, if you will, that PERS and working with their actuaries have already done that shows the impact on the program if certain action was taken, such as freezing the cost of living adjustment in place as it is now rather than increasing it by the 3% compounded in future years and how that would impact PERS's finances. We'll get into that and some of the other scenarios they ran as well. It's pretty fascinating. But we're out of here today. Enjoy and be careful out there with the eclipse. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, stay safe and God bless.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.